Have you ever found yourself trapped in a spiral of negative thoughts at 3 a.m., replaying an embarrassing moment or worrying about tomorrow's presentation? That voice in your head, your internal narrator, can be your greatest ally or your worst enemy. The difference lies in how you engage with it. Our minds constantly chatter, producing up to 4,000 words per minute of internal dialogue, enough to fill a novel every day. This isn't necessarily problematic, it's how we're wired. But when this chatter turns negative, it can hijack our well-being, relationships, and performance. The science is clear. How we talk to ourselves matters profoundly. When Navy SEAL Matt Mosdam faced life-threatening situations, he couldn't simply turn off his fear. Instead, he learned to transform his inner dialogue, treating his emotions as intelligence rather than obstacles. This represents a fundamental shift in understanding our relationship with our thoughts. Our inner voice evolved as a powerful tool for processing experience and solving problems. But like any sophisticated instrument, it requires proper technique to use effectively. What's fascinating is that this internal dialogue shapes not just how we feel, but how our brains and bodies function. When we're caught in negative chatter, our prefrontal cortex, responsible for rational thinking, becomes overwhelmed, while our amygdala, the brain's alarm system, goes into overdrive. The good news? We can learn to conduct this mental orchestra with greater skill. When facing emotional challenges, our instinct is to analyze our feelings, to understand why we feel anxious or upset. This seems logical, but research shows introspection often backfires. In one experiment, researchers divided people with negative emotions into two groups. One analyzed their feelings, "Why do I feel this way?" while the other described experiences objectively, "What am I feeling?" The analyzers felt worse afterward, while describers felt better. Asking why leads to unproductive rumination rather than resolution. This explains why some journaling helps while others hurt. Writing that objectively processes experiences tends to be therapeutic, while questioning motives often deepens distress. Venting for perspective can heal, while rehashing grievances harms. The issue isn't introspection itself, but our approach. When we zoom in too closely on problems, we lose perspective. Like examining a painting with our nose against the canvas, seeing only brushstrokes, not the complete picture. Imagine advising a friend through a difficult situation. You'd likely offer balanced, thoughtful guidance. Yet when facing similar challenges yourself, that wisdom often vanishes. This phenomenon, Solomon's paradox, shows we're better at solving others' problems than our own. Psychological distance provides a solution by shifting perspective. When Novak Djokovic faced match point at Wimbledon, instead of saying, "I can do this," he used, "Novak, you can do this." This subtle shift activated the rational thinking we typically use when advising others. Research confirms people who use their own names or "you" when problem solving demonstrate less anxiety, clearer thinking, and better performance than those using first-person pronouns. This distant self-talk transforms your inner voice from critic to coach. Another effective tool is temporal perspective. Asking, "How will I feel about this a year from now?" often reveals today's overwhelming problems will barely matter later. Studies show asking, "Will this matter in 5 years?" reduces emotional reactivity by 43%. Our interpretations determine whether we crumble or grow when facing challenges. Two students receiving B+ grades illustrate this. One sees inadequacy, another sees opportunity for improvement. Same event, different emotional outcomes, all from different framing. Reframing isn't toxic positivity, but finding legitimate alternative perspectives that serve us better. When J.K. Rowling faced rejections for Harry Potter, she reframed them as part of the process until finding the right publisher. Science confirms this. Negative interpretations activate our amygdala, threat response, while constructive reframing engages our prefrontal cortex, rational thinking. This neural shift transforms our emotional experience without changing circumstances. Effective reframing includes challenge reframing, obstacles as growth opportunities, benefit finding, identifying unexpected positives, and normalizing, recognizing struggles as universal, not personal failures. Most powerful is finding meaning in challenges. Viktor Frankl observed in concentration camps that those who found meaning in suffering were most likely to survive. Research shows patients who view illness as meaningful recover better. We can't control what happens, but we can master interpretation. Our physical surroundings shape our emotions more profoundly than we realize. When Yale professor Lori Santos felt overwhelmed, she changed her environment, not just her mindset, by taking a sabbatical when she realized her position no longer served her well-being. While we can't always change locations when stressed, small modifications significantly affect emotional states. Workspace photos of loved ones accelerate recovery from negative emotions. Plants improve concentration and reduce stress hormones by 15%. Even a 20-minute park walk substantially lowers cortisol levels. The most underrated environmental strategy may be simple removal. Digital notifications hijack attention and trigger stress. Having a phone visible, even turned off, reduces cognitive capacity and increases anxiety, while placing devices out of sight improves focus. Our environments also determine who we interact with. The proximity effect shows physical proximity shapes important relationships, explaining why college roommates often become lifelong friends and why remote work can weaken team bonds. Consider creating spaces that support different emotional needs. Emotions spread between people like contagions. Experiments show that watching someone display anxiety raises observer stress hormones within minutes through unconscious mimicry. We automatically mirror others' expressions and behaviors, triggering similar emotional states in ourselves. This explains why negative people drain us while optimistic individuals elevate our mood. A 20-year study tracking 4,739 people found happiness spreads up to 3 degrees of separation in social networks. When seeking emotional support, most people mistakenly engage in co-rumination, repeatedly discussing problems without gaining new perspectives. While this validates feelings, it often amplifies negativity. Effective support requires both empathy and perspective broadening. Helping others regulates emotions more effectively than self-focus. Meta-analyses show acts of kindness produce greater happiness than self-care activities. This helper's high reduces inflammatory markers and improves cardiovascular function, reflecting our evolutionary wiring for cooperation. Rather than viewing emotional regulation as solitary, consider your social ecosystem and intentionally cultivate connections with people who provide both empathy and perspective. Navy SEALs prepare with if-then scenarios for every contingency, a strategy applicable to emotional regulation. Different situations require different tools, not one-size-fits-all solutions. Psychologist Gabriele Oettingen found that merely visualizing positive outcomes undermines effort. Her WHOOP technique combines visualization with obstacle anticipation. Wish, identify desired emotional state. Outcome, imagine how you'll feel. Obstacle, identify barriers. And plan, create specific if-then statements. These implementation intentions connect triggers to responses, making emotional regulation nearly automatic. Example, if I feel overwhelmed during meetings, then I'll use distant self-talk by silently using my name. Emotional regulation isn't about eliminating negative feelings. Emotions like fear and anger serve important functions. The goal is responding constructively. Your toolkit should be diverse. Sometimes changing your environment works best, other times reframing perspective or seeking social support is needed. By experimenting systematically, you become the conductor of your emotions rather than their victim.